Hello, and welcome to the Book Smarts podcast, where we talk about publishing data and technologies and send you away with some insights that will help you sell more books. I'm your host, Joshua Talent. So this week on the Book Smarts podcast, I'm chatting with Emily Lyman. Emily is the CEO and founder of Branch & Bramble, which is an award-winning marketing agency for lifestyle brands. Emily is also a speaker at the upcoming Publishing Innovation Forum, September 24th to 26th. She's going to be talking at the forum about building brand trust, the role of empathetic marketing in publishing. So I wanted to get Emily's thoughts on this, kind of a preview for some people, hopefully encourage you to come join us in Nashville. Thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joshua, for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Okay, so we're going to talk about brand trust. And I'd like, if we can, let's just talk about what that means. Like if somebody's coming at this from, I work for a publishing house, I'm trying to be successful. What is brand trust? And how does that actually make a difference in your marketing?
I love that we start there. It is essentially the level of confidence that consumers have in a brand's ability to keep its promises. And these promises can include the quality of products or services, the brand's values and mission, or how the brand treats its employees and its customers. There's a lot of factors that go into brand trust. And what's been fascinating as a marketer is to see the evolution of brand trust over the years and how it changes and how important it becomes, not only to consumers as a whole, but we have some really interesting data on how brand trust is thought about generationally as well.
Okay.
So lots of good stuff there.
That's great. Yeah. So, okay. So brand trust, I'm assuming that when you're thinking about this from a company's perspective, it flows out of the values you have as an organization, core values that you've developed as an organization, or maybe you haven't developed. How does that get started when you're working with a company? How do you get started on thinking about brand trust internally before it even gets to the outside?
It's a really good question. And I think to take it one step back is the target that your target consumer that your company is looking towards. And I'm going to say that, and then I'm going to have data that's going to mess it up later on in this podcast. Because I'm throwing a curveball, essentially. But brand trust can mean, like as you said, a lot of different things. And it used to just be, this company makes a really good product and I know it won't break and it will last and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or I know what I'm getting for the value that of that product. It's yeah, it'll break in 5 years, but it's the, you know, midline and I don't have to pay a lot of money for it, right? So it used to be that straight brand trust was like, what's our product? How are we selling it? You know, et cetera. But as that changes, you mentioned company values now do start to play more and more of a role. And so essentially, companies, in order to start with brand trust, they need to, yes, look at their own story and their own values and what they want to put out into the world. Mm-hmm. But that's only half of the puzzle. The second half is, what are my target consumers looking for? What are their values? Mm-hmm. And how do our company values mesh and work with our consumer values? So it's kind of a two-parter.
Yeah. Okay. So in a sense, what you're saying too is that brand trust is changing. How we address brand trust in today's marketplace is maybe different than the way it was 10, 20, 30 years ago. So what's different now? How is that changing in the minds of consumers?
Well, I'm going to take it, you know, we'll get a little bit into the generational divide, but I'm going to throw some stats in the fact that, yes, brand trust is more important than ever. So 84% of people globally report the need to share values with a brand that to use it, right? So this essentially means, hey, if I believe in clean water, I want the brand that I use for my home goods, my consumer packaged goods, et cetera, to also care about clean water. And then to throw that monkey wrench, Gen Z actually takes it a step further, and nearly 6 in 10 of Gen Z feel a connection with people who use the same brands that they do. So there's a lot there.
Okay, so talking about how Gen Z really works, what about influencers? Like there's a big push in social media to use influencers or to think of it. Is that helpful? Does that help with brand trust? Is that something that whether it's Gen Z that we're talking about now or whether we're talking just in general, how does that work?
Yeah, so I'm really glad that you said that, because Gen Z as a whole, not only are they looking to influencers, but they themselves hold a lot of influence. So, a lot of people will come to me and they say, "Hey, why, if our target audience, it's not really Gen Z, there are other generations, we can just target those. Why do we really need to get all into the Gen Z, zeitgeist, if you will?" Gen Z wields tremendous influence over every other generation across not just what we buy, but how we live and what we believe. And this relationship is bi-directional. So Gen Z trusting businesses, they trust businesses more than any other institution. And they don't just use it as a transaction. They use brands to express who they are, connect with similar people, and determine who they don't share values with. So it kind of goes both ways. And as when you come into your marketing, as you look and you're like, how do brands establish first and foremost their brand trust with others? A lot of that is through social media, a lot of that is through influencers, and a lot of that is what we're going to be talking about at the panel, shameless plug. At the conference, is what we like to call empathetic marketing. And so you use that to communicate your story, the values of your consumers, through all those different marketing touch points. And influencers is definitely one of them, a huge piece of them. I can go into a lot more percentages and stats. I'm a stats nerd, I'm just gonna say that. But the social media and influencers are the two biggest ways that Gen Z interact with brands.
And so that's also how they interact with other generations as well, because there's so many influencers that are Gen Z, that has an impact not just internally in that generation, but across the board.
Exactly. Yep.
That makes sense. So in the demographic differences, we're looking at like these different generations. If let's talk, I guess, a little bit more about the brands that are trusted and how brands are trusted even. What about the difference, like millennials and Gen Z? That's kind of the center point here for a lot of marketing. What are the brands that are most trusted by those, and how do they work?
So in terms of millennials, the cross, actually TikTok is one of the most trusted brands by Gen Z and millennials. So that's where you get kind of the commonality, which says a lot, right? In terms of the next stage of brand trust, which is that it's going farther than just your products. It's now becoming a societal and a political issue. And that's huge. But in terms of millennials, right, then you get into Bitcoin, Meta, WWE actually has one of the most trusted brands, Red Bull, and most surprisingly of all, Philip Morris.
Really
Yeah.
interesting.
Yes. Yeah. And so then you turn to Gen Z, and they're big fans of social media companies, TikTok leading the way, followed by like Snapchat, Spotify, Twitch, Discord, Instagram. Surprisingly, Instagram was thought of separately from Meta, even though Meta obviously owns Instagram. And then most trusted overall over everything is Band-Aid.
Interesting. I have so many questions about this. So, I wonder also, I mean, now we're talking about the difference between two generations that are pretty, I mean, they're right next to each other, right? Where were millennials 10 years ago? How does this change over time? And are we expecting, I don't know if you could even talk about this, but I'm just curious. Can we expect Gen Z to change as well? I mean, going that direction toward Meta is kind of funny to me because I don't even think of millennials as much on Facebook necessarily. My grandmother is, my parents are, my wife is, but I, well, I guess technically she's a millennial, so maybe that's the case. But it's kind of an interesting thing. I wouldn't necessarily expect that movement. Okay, so. But I guess the question then becomes, what's going to happen 10 years from now? How do we keep up with that when Gen Z is moving away from every single one of the brands that you said they trust the most are online brands that are social media driven. Almost every single thing is social media for that. That's got to change at some point. And if so, how? How do we keep up with that generation as it grows?
I would say that first, it actually doesn't surprise me that millennials trust Meta. If you think about it, Facebook, millennials cut their teeth on Facebook. It was one
Sure.
of the first real social media platforms. And so many millennials, it depends, their use may not be as up there as it used to be, but it is still very much a millennial platform.
Okay.
More so than Gen Z or future or later generations, I should say. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that is on there. I think some millennials have gone away from it, but a lot more are still, it's still their home base, if you will. In terms of Gen Z changing in the next decade, I think that more generations, we stay the same more than we would think we would stay the same. And that's kind of where Gen Z throws that monkey wrench in, is because they have such influence over the generations. That's then why you see that change happening, right? Is, oh, Gen Z has some of the most biggest political and societal influence of any other generation, and they're not afraid to speak up about it. And I think that's where you'll see it changing, is that I don't think they'll ever move away from the community and social media aspects. Maybe the companies, yes, but the touch points of what they expect from companies, for Gen Z, brands are how they use their voice. So that is not going to change, even though the brands themselves might change.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It's interesting because it's the essentially the values that they're seeing in these companies, and how they use the companies to express their own values. Those two together are going to keep them connected to any other platform, any other company, any other brand that it allows them to see the same thing or do the same thing.
Exactly. Gen Z, what so many people have realized is they're a tipping point, right, for action. We are living in such a polarized social first world, and they just hold immense influence and gravitational pull. So brands are how they use their voice, and their choices and preferences of brands, they serve as a testament to their values and actions. But this also means that there's such a high expectation of brands, right? And before, you had the old adage of, silence is golden, and brands could kind of pick and choose and be like, we're not getting in the middle of this controversy or this conversation. But even if brands decide not to address a societal issue or speak up on it, to Gen Z, that means they are taking a stance. So now their silence works against them.
Interesting.
And it has become a very fraught environment,
Yeah.
because on one hand, you're like, we don't want brands to weigh in on every single thing. But then if they're silent, that then conveys its own message.
Interesting. Okay. So speaking of being silent on things, we're going to talk about AI at the conference. There's going to be a couple of sessions about it, including a group conversation. So I'm curious about how AI is having an impact on Gen Z. It's obviously they're very online, they're very much in social media, they're seeing the impact. How is that impact affecting them?
Can I ask you a question and
Go
flip it
ahead.
around and say, do you think that AI builds brand trust in Gen Z's eyes or hurts it?
Putting it back on me, huh? That's great. I'm just gonna guess, and this is just me pulling it out of my hat because I don't know obviously the stats that I'm sure you have, but I suspect that it is actually hurting brand trust because in the end, if everything is about what I as a Gen Z person as what I think is valuable being expressed in a valuable way by a brand that I trust, I'm not going to trust that brand if they start whitewashing things, if they start, if they start using things that aren't really honest, if they're using something that doesn't come from a truthful perspective, and AI could be seen that way. Not necessarily that it is, but that's how it could definitely be seen.
I love it. And I'm sorry, I know because I like I'm the one that holds all the cards and the information if I'm asking you to do this. But it's interesting to me because it's an own kind of experiment on my end is how AI is first perceived by people. Because actually with Gen Z, AI has very much the potential to increase brand trust when brands use it correctly. And I think this gets to the underlying issue of Gen Z expect brands to be transparent and truthful about everything that they're doing. So about their values, about their mission statement, if they made a mistake, why they're doing what they're doing. And AI is just another portion of that. They're technological, they're a technological generation. And they like AI, they play with AI, and they want brands to do that and keep up with them. If the brands are very like, hey, this is what we're doing with AI, we're trying these new things, or we're using this to make your life easier rather than kind of a whitewash, but more of a we're building out this AI journey to help your experience with the brand much more seamless, or even in some cases, honestly, much more personal.
That's good. Yeah, and that question of how do we feel about AI is going to come up at the conference. It will definitely be part of that broader conversation because publishing, we're still trying to figure it out. We don't know in the publishing world what's going to really land and how to handle it and how to handle it well. I hear these conversations all the time at conferences, and it's why we're having the conversation at ours is that people are just trying to figure out what to do with it. And there's obviously good that is there and valuable capabilities that are there, but you have to be careful about how you address it, not only internally but also externally with your consumers.
I will say there's a lot I've seen on social media and a lot of different publishing houses that have gotten into hot water for use of AI that are being called out by current readers, current, book talkers, current influencers, et cetera. And what to me it stems from, I'm not gonna obviously throw anybody under the bus or call out any names, but what it stems from me from The main point it stems from, in my perspective, is that the brand that was using AI in these situations were not truthful about it and were trying to pass it off as not AI. And that's where the current constituents and readers really get heated up about it.
It's a breach of trust at that point, and you can't. You have to be very, like you said, visible, transparent about these issues and where things are being used and how things are being used and how it impacts or affects the consumer, in whatever way, that it might. It might be that it doesn't impact them at all. It's just some behind the scenes stuff, but still being transparent is helpful to help them stay abreast of really what's whether they can trust you and should trust you.
Exactly. Because I would also say that more so as you've seen it kind of with millennials a little bit, and then more so into Gen Z and later generations, is this fierce protectiveness towards the individual, artist or author, et cetera, people who are trying to create creators, essentially, right? You see that kind of from influencers who are content creators and that fierce protectiveness of them. And as it flows through into other industries, then especially the readers become very protective of their authors and their artists and their content creators and how they want the publishing houses to do right by them. And it's always a two-way street, right? There's always going to be both sides of the story. But it's been fascinating to see just how essentially those on social media and the current readers circle the wagons, if you will, if they perceive even a whiff of impropriety towards their creators.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Emily, we're out of time, but this was a great conversation. I love it. And I think a great introduction to the concept of brand trust for those people who are interested in learning more. And they're hopefully going to come join us at the conference and hear the panel discussion and ask you lots of great questions, which I'm sure they will. Thank you so much for joining me. Where can people find you online? What are the things that you're doing that you want to pe have people follow you?
Yes, please follow us on well, find my agency, Branch and Bramble. We are branchandbramble.com. It's a very long name, but I thought of that after I already created the website. and you can find me on LinkedIn. It's just Emily Lyman is my profile on LinkedIn. That's really the platform that I use the most.
Awesome. And we'll put links in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining me. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in September.
Thanks, Joshua. I appreciate it. And I also am so excited about September and looking forward to seeing everyone there.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us for the Book Smarts podcast. If you like what you've heard, please leave a review or rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to us. And also, please share the podcast with your colleagues. If you have topic suggestions or feedback about the show, you can email me at joshua@firebrandtech.com. Thanks for joining me and getting smarter about your books.